Hey guys, Footy Focus Podcast, episode 14, recording on Queen's birthday. Joined by my co-host Shahan. How are you going?
Good, John. Thanks for having me. So it's another Skype episode. Hopefully the last one. But is this the last of the bye round? I think we have one more, yeah?
We've got one more, yeah. One more. We've had two or three.
Yeah, but same old for us. Both our teams played, so we'll get into that shortly. But some news that dropped after our last episode is that Nathan Buckley, so what happened? The board met and said they weren't going to renew his contract, and then he decided to step away.
Yeah, I think he was keen to continue for the rest of the year, but I think the new leadership, so that's Graham White, Mark Quarter, and et cetera, wanted him to kind of finish up. But Pies have won the last game and beat the top of the ladder team, D's, tonight. So it's a good farewell. But what do you think of him and I guess his legacy? And he's had a huge, huge career.
I think they won the last two games. So it's an interesting way to finish up a coaching career. So good win today, like an excellent win. They did topple the top of the ladder, Melbourne Demons. But to me, Buckley, I'd remember him as just a gun player. I think he was just a champion in an okay Collingwood team at the time. Him just by himself would will the team over the line and get him into grand finals and things like that. So I guess it's a career of almost, like he almost won a couple of flags playing. He would have won flags if he stayed at Brisbane or come to the Kangaroos he was meant to. Coaching wise, he was a kick away, right? Like a minute away from ultimate glory.
Yeah, so the Dom Sheed goal, and then the other one was 2019. So they probably should have beaten the Giants without Toby Green and Carl Moore went down earlier that year as well. So they probably should have beaten the Giants. And I think they were probably the best team that could have toppled the Tigers. Every other team's kind of struggled against them, but the Pies have won the Omni final against the Tigers in that 4-year span.
So he was part of the coaching team when they won the premiership in 2010.
Yeah,
so that's a little bit of a premiership, takes the premiership there.
Port Magpies going back a fair way when he was a 20-year-old. So he did a dusty mind. Like he won the league BNF, the grand final BNF, and the club BNF. So probably the most credentialed player not to win a flag maybe in our lifetime. But Brownlow medalist, 7-time All Australian, 6-time BNF at the Pies, and captain for 9 years. So he's done pretty much everything else except win a flag.
Has he got an announcement? Did he win one for a losing team?
Yeah, won one in 2002, the one that just went down to the lines, 9 points in the wet.
Yeah, you got to be an exceptional player to do that. So, amazing career. And I guess in this, when he was a coach, he started off pretty, he got a good team and then he gradually got worse and then had a couple of, or three, I think, good years where they were contending.
Yeah.
And then the last couple of years again has sort of seen them drop in. That's about the end. So, a bit unlucky. A lot of things didn't go his way. I think there was some issue, problems with the players, like individual players, whether it's drugs or just controversy. At the end of the day, he's responsible. So, I think it was probably the right time for him to move on and get a new coach.
I think any coach that goes 10 years plus without a flag, generally they don't get that long, but testament to his, I guess, legacy at the Pies. And in terms of replacements, who do you think's, maybe don't give me one name, maybe is there, would you go an experienced coach or would you go an untried?
I'd probably go, I don't know, maybe not untried, maybe like a coach that hasn't played, coached AFL. So whether it's a Sam Mitchell or a Scotty Burns. I think Adam Uze's name's been thrown about. I think they've got a young squad, so a coach like that who can come through with the players might be good, and you generally look for like the successful teams. So maybe look who's coaching Richmond, Kent Kingsley, he might be a chance, or someone like that. How about you? Do you go for some experience?
Yeah, I think Ross Lyon's the most credentialed, but I don't think he really suits the timeline. Because the Pies are in a rebuild. I think he's more suited maybe in 3 or 4 years' time when they're ready. So maybe a Voss or a Choco Williams, someone that's had some experience. Because, yeah, Pies probably have the biggest spotlight on them of any club. So I wouldn't want to put, an untried coach in there. But, we'll see when they do appoint someone anyway.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there. So to the talking points, I think the main one for the weekend was David McKay or McKay? McKay, yeah?
I think it's McKay, yeah.
McKay, he was sent straight to the tribunal place hit on Saints Hunter Clark.
Yeah, so first time I think Michael Christian's done this without, a charge attached. Like there's no rough contract, dangerous tackle, there's no charge there. So Clark's got a broken jaw, collided with McKay's shoulder. Like I watched it live. I thought, for me, there's no suspension. Spare attempt at the ball, eyes are on the ball, no attempt to bump, didn't run past the ball as well. So he kind of collected the ball and then Clark's jaw. I think it's just an unfortunate consequence in a contact sport. I don't think he did anything wrong there. What sort of your take on it?
Yeah, I think he was just going for the ball. So again, it's a contact sport and contact like this happens. But I do see the point like guys like David King makes and how you want to protect the head. So if we want to do that and also expect contact, then I don't know, you just got to be more aware or not go as fast. But then I think that's taking away from instinct of playing footy, right? And players, if they do that, then our game's going to change into a non-contact, like a non-contact sport. So.
Yeah.
I don't want to see someone suffering a broken jaw. So
yeah.
I don't know if the coaches can work on technique or how to protect the head. But yeah, it's a tough one. For mine, probably no suspension as well.
Yeah.
This is one of those unfortunate things where what was his other alternative? He couldn't sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Like he got the ball first. Like he was motioning to collect the ball. He wasn't motioning to bump or anything like that. So I don't think there's anything he could have done except maybe not go as hard or not contest the ball, which you don't want him doing at the same time as well. I don't think it's as bad as the Holman one where, holding the ball, perfect tackle, just Mitchell hit his head. But, you wouldn't want someone getting suspended for this, I don't think, anyway.
Yeah, we'll see. I have a feeling it'll get off. Like, if it's going to be a suspension, then it can't just be 1 or 2 weeks. It's got to be the medium end as well. We'll see what happens. We'll see what the outcome is. So we'll move on to the game reviews, I think. Your game, it feels like it was a while, like ages ago. Since it was
Yeah, 4 days ago now, so not a great start to the long weekend. Support, we went down by 21 points to the Cats at home. It was a super impressive win by the Caps. We've all heard about being locked down since Monday, essentially the whole week. Spent 6 hours in the sack of nets pre-match. heard a few players were getting sleep under the table and, just not a great prep when, Paul could stay in their house and sleep in their bed. So it's a bit different prep. Cats, I think, three of the most ominous performances so far this season. Belted the Tigers and the Eagles and, Port were not a great team, but definitely a better team at home. So, three of the most impressive performances this season. Clearances and inside 50 efficiency were pretty even. The stats which kind of hurt us, so minus 10 contested possessions, minus 10 turnovers, minus 9 inside 50 marks and minus 11 contested marks. And that's even with plus 28 tackles. So, Cats just too good.
So the contested marks is interesting. So where were they happening? In your forward line or defence?
Yeah, defence. So defence and going into the forward line. So Stewart and Henry. So Henry, 13 intercept marks, which game high. Stewart, 8. Hawkins, Cameron and Rowan, 7 contested marks between those three. So we just got killed at either end of the ground defense and forward. So, yeah, two turning points in one. To Port, we're up 21 points late in the second. And then Cats four goals in about 8-9 minutes to take a half-time lead. So just killed any momentum. And then, yeah, we kicked three goals in about 4 minutes to start the fourth to get the lead. And then Cats kicked three in less than a minute, I think, of game time to take the lead and just never let up. So, yeah, just a sign of a good team, I think, just wrestled back momentum really quickly. Did let us sit with the lead. And, yeah, with the intercept marks, I thought, yeah, Bonner, Farrell, Amon and Sampau Pepper just, yeah, were shown up with composure, just blazed away too often and, yeah, just hit the opposition.
So it's because of the tackle pressure as well, yeah? Well, they were up in tackle or were you guys?
No, we had 28 more tackles. So even with, I think Geelong only laid 37 for the night, but I think both teams going forward looked really dangerous the whole night, but yeah, they were just too classy with their forwards. So, yeah, Cameron, Tomahawk and Rowan. So 12 goals from 18 scoring shots, 32 scoring involvement. So just too good. Like Cameron, I thought was best on ground. Just way too good for Aaliyah. But won the one-on-one contest, inside 50 stoppage goal in the fourth. And then Aaliyah had a few turnovers by foot, which led to direct goals too. So, probably his worst performance for the year.
Yeah. And Cleary's not playing at the moment, is he?
Yeah, it's a broken jaw. So he's out for another couple of weeks. So
he'd be the matchup ideally if he was fit.
Yeah, I think he would have gone. I think he would have gone to probably Hawkins and then Aaliyah to Jezza. But with Jezza dominant, he would have switched Cleary onto Jezza. Yeah. So Hawkins was just too good for McKenzie. And, yeah, Dixon, I thought, responded to these critics. So, it doesn't really play well against a top eight team normally, but kicked four goals, four contested marks versus Henderson, who's a quality opponent. A lot of times it was one versus two. Contributed in the ruck too. So, one of his better games. And Rosie, returned to form. So, four first quarter goals. He repaid the faith. Probably lucky not to get dropped the last couple of months. So, hopefully he continue his form.
Yeah. He was crazy. I watched the first quarter and everything he touched just turned to gold or goals, really. So, I thought he was going to have a massive game, but I think he slowed down a bit, did he?
Tailed off. He got moved more midfield and high up forward in the end, which maybe looking back, probably should have kept him deep forward. Kicked a goal kicked his fifth early in the fourth, but didn't really get involved.
Do you think top four is still a possibility, or do you think this loss sort of is that final nail?
Yeah, I don't think top four is a possibility. It really needed to win that game. Like, we're fifth now, 9% back on the Lions. Equal on wins with the Swans and the Eagles, with the Tigers one game behind. So I think fifth is probably the best bet, which means a home final. But, looking back at the start of the year, top four was probably the expectation. So, disappointing, but we really need, we got, I think, the Bulldogs in Melbourne, Sydney at home. They're probably the two big games to come, so really need to win them. So Wines, really good, led the way again, 29-7 clearances, game high 13 contested. Both broke the O'Connor tag in the second half, had 19 in the second half. Drew had game high 10 tackles, but really faded late. The Marshall concussion early didn't cost us the game, but just allowed too many intercept marks for the Cats. Lockie Jones got moved into the forward line in the fourth, so maybe that's a trick we use going forward, because Dixon was able to have more one-on-ones then. But 1-4 against a top four team, so just costs us a top four finish. And typically, honest, Ken Hinckley said we're just not the top four level. So good team, but not a great team.
It's just surprising because I would have expected you guys sort of naturally improve, but having Butters and Dersmer out for most of the year doesn't help. They're young but two important players. So I think once they're back, you'll start, that confidence will build throughout the rest of the players and they'll start playing better. So,
definitely a bit thin midfield-wise compared to the top four teams, but every team has injuries, so it's not an excuse at all.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. So I don't know. Port's one of those teams that can get a roll and win sort of four or five games in a row and yeah, set themselves up. But who knows? It's a pretty even competition. So
yeah,
we know that Scott A grade is like on every line. So you'll see what happens.
And North had a really exciting game against the Giants yesterday. Bit of a thrilling finish.
Yeah, it was, yeah. So the first draw for the year. So both teams are very accurate. So 14 goals, 10, 94. So we had the game. So we started off well and sort of a couple of errors and lack of concentration let GWS stay in touch. Every time we got that 2-3 goal break, they were able to get back. But we did go 28 up in the third quarter. And yeah, Lloyd kicked a couple of goals in the last 5 minutes and they probably should have won. They had another shot from the boundary, which ran out in the full. But yeah, just ran out of legs and we can't put four quarters together yet.
So did it sort of feel like 2 points lost or won in the end?
Well, if you asked me before the game, it would have been won, but after the game, it's definitely lost. Like we had it there, so. After Zerha kicked that goal in the fourth quarter, I think we were up by a comfortable margin and we should have held on. But I think a young team, a couple of the senior players are still sort of trying to find a bit of form. I thought our midfield battled pretty well against their midfield. Like I expected the Giants midfield to overpower us, but Simpkin, Cunnington, Dumont, those guys sort of held their own. And yeah, Josh Kelly was amazing with almost 40 touches and 2 goals. Toronto was good as well. And we were a lot more composed with the ball in our hands. So a lot of short passes and just not blazing away and looking at the middle and going when the option was there was pretty impressive. Still a few turnovers by a couple of senior and young players, which sort of halted our transition and either paused or Giants were able to rebound. But yeah, we can see the development and improvement week by week. So, and an indicator is disposal efficiency. So it was 75% today. So generally, it's been a bit lower than that, and especially the inside 50 efficiency. It was 53. So previous weeks, it's been in that 40s. So I think Roos supporters, even though we drew, would still take a lot of positives away.
Yeah, sure. So what were some of those positives?
I think Zerha played his best game for the year. So 16 touches, 5 tackles, 2 goals, 2. Probably could have had 3, but his defensive application was excellent, I thought. And Thomas continues to hit the scoreboard, even though it doesn't get a lot more than maybe high teens touches. Simpkin, on the other hand, yeah, it's just hard at it. 31, 8 tackles. And Cunnington kicked a couple of important goals to go along with his contested best, and Hall had 30 plus and 800 meters gained. So those are the players that generally stood out. I thought there was a lot of good goals, a lot of good snap goals, and it was an exciting game to watch. Like Kelly kicked a couple of impressive goals, but my favorite one was probably the Powell snap, which came from a Davey Juniac hand pass, which came from a Cherry ruck tap in the forward pocket. So, yeah, that got me off my seat, and I was excited then. So, good to see all the young players link up. And, Jack Marnie had his best game as well. So, 15 touches, 4 tackles, a good intercept goal, and, he's continuing to develop. And finally, Larky was improved. His form has improved recently as well. And Jaden Stevens, in fact, this makes us a bit more unpredictable going forward. And Goldie was consistent as ever against Mumford. Did you see the Mumford incident?
I don't know why he doesn't get cited for this, because it tends to happen, maybe not every game he plays, but maybe once every second game. Like, why doesn't he get, I know it's a free kick, but is that enough? Because he's done this countless times. It's going to hurt someone one day.
Yeah, so the media's picked up on that. So on Twitter, I saw a few different people sort of mentioning it and highlighting it. So we'll see what if they haven't already, MRO comes back with, because he did get Turner high. He should have been turned over in the middle. Yeah. Umpiring is a bit like questionable, I thought. Like, maybe both ways, but I don't know if this is my bias, but there's a couple of obvious decisions that didn't go our way. Like Cherry and Thomas went for a mark and they both grabbed it and it was just called play on. I don't know why. And Green, there was a call where they said Turner tunneled Green, but he just laid a hand on him. And I think Green does some funny stuff when he's in the air.
Yeah.
And then he just made his body sort of bottom part of his body go forward. So the umpire sort of fell for that. Some other negatives were just our structure and stoppages in the last quarter, which we got smashed in. Maybe it's the fatigue setting in, but it's something we need, the players need to learn and improve for next time. And we had some important players on the bench as well.
I know that happens quite a bit. Is that just because the ball's on the other end of the ground? Because I know for like Port in the prelim final, Rosie was on the bench for like the last 8-9 minutes just because the ball was on the other end.
It possibly, I'm not too sure, but yeah, no, I think it happened to Dustin Martin a couple of years ago, but
yeah
we had like Zeeble, Thomas, a couple of important players on the bench where they should have been, being in their positions trying to win the game. So I don't know. A couple of other negatives were Taylor Garner had a little bit of an off game, not as clean with the ball, and Young had a couple of brain fades as well. So, And Taron was back, so it's good to have him back. But the defensive tools didn't have their best game. So whether it's that they need a bit more time to play with each other to gel a bit, I'm not sure. Josh Walker did a couple of silly things, and Mackay didn't have his normal influence. He got a fist in there a couple of times and still got a few touches, but it might just take a couple more games for them to work as a unit together.
Was Mackay playing as the number one key back still, even with Tarrant back?
Yeah, I think he was on Himmelberg for most of the game. So
yeah, he was the number one,
Yes, so they don't really have a number one forward as such. But I thought Flynn was pretty dangerous. He took numerous contested marks and a couple of goals. So now he was good for them. And yeah, Haynes was amazing for them as well. I think we picked him out like 6 or 7 times, just getting back and intercepting. So both teams have a few injuries, but that was a good quality game. And the result was good for us, I suppose, in the end. So it's a good thing. It's interesting thing about our games is draws. Yeah, like you don't mind them, like splitting the points.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Yeah, I'd like to see it go another 5 minutes. To be fair, both ends like a final to get a result. But I think the positive is I think you were worried going in last week that, it wouldn't match the big body mids of the Giants. And apart from Kelly, it looks like, Roo's mids kind of, were on top. And, it's a good sign because Giants haven't been, they've been pretty good. They're pushing for the 8 at the moment. So it's definitely some progress from the Roos to kick a big score as well and get up by so many points. Now, the next step is to, finish the deal.
Good point. I wanted us to kick another goal just to bring up the 100 because, it would have been nice because I think this was our highest goal for the year. But, Cherry was good as well. So he took a couple of good marks. Just for a first game, he did okay, Probably didn't needs to
keep his place.
Huh?
Did enough to keep his place.
Yeah, definitely. We'll move on to the previews now. And you guys have Gold Coast at Metricon on Saturday afternoon. What are you expecting?
Expecting a percentage boosting win. Like I said before, 9% back to the Lions. So really need to try and push up. If it missed an opportunity against Freo the other week to get a big win. So Scotty Lysette's back after 5 weeks out. I think last week I said he was back, but jumped the gun a bit. Marshall's out with a concussion, so Laddams will play. Marshall, Georgiadis, one of them doesn't need to be picked just at the moment. Might be a tough decision for the selection panel next week. So, do expect a clearance dominance versus Gold Coast Rucks. It was Zach Smith and Chris Burgess last time. Probably the most, least experienced duo in the comp, especially after Witts went down with an ACL. Desmond Butters are still a few weeks away. So, both Wines and Amon have been, super the whole year. Just need more support in the midfield, whether that's Drew, Sam Powell-Pepper, or or Houston. Coaches still seem pretty keen to play Houston off half back, but really think he's needed more in the midfield. Hopefully Hartlett comes back. Allows probably Houston to play midfield. Dixon versus Collins would be pretty pivotal. Collins was a late withdrawal last week. Hopefully we do see that matchup. He's probably the best key back for the Suns, won their BNF last year. I think Aaliyah goes to King. Don't think McKenzie or Jonas are quick enough for King, but yeah, Aaliyah's big game for Aaliyah to bounce back after being towed up by Cameron.
And King's been pretty good for the Suns. Yeah, I think he's up there in the Coleman, so it'll be a big job.
Yeah.
I think he's giving away a bit of height as well. King's pretty massive.
Yeah, exactly. I think Aaliyah's the tallest of our backs, so probably more suited to him than the others, Jonas and McKenzie. Probably Burton's the most obvious matchup for Rankin, but I think Rankin still has him for speed, so it'll be interesting to see how Burton goes. Miller's the most informed son in any line. I think he's probably too good to tag these days, but might go to Boak potentially. Bowes to Rosie's maybe the obvious matchup down back for the Suns. Yeah, just a great battle between young guns and Drew to Rail at stoppages. He had a decent game, Raoul, but I think he's just going to get better week by week now. Hopefully get back to his best. So,
I wonder if the Will Powell, he could go to Rosie potentially. He's a bit of a defensive player as well.
Yeah, I think they got a couple of options. I mean, there's no Fantasia too. So, whoever the best small defender is, I think he'll go to Rosie, especially after last week's 5-goal effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right about, Raoul. So he had 14 touches, I think, on the weekend, so it's just easy into it. So expect him to find some form in the coming weeks. I'm not sure if it'll be a percentage-boosting win. It could be, but I think the Suns are generally not too bad at making a game at least competitive.
Yeah, 100%. And the Roos play the Lions at Marvel. Is it still at Marvel or has it been changed yet? Not sure.
At Marvel for the time being. Mm-hmm. So it's a Saturday afternoon, I think. Quite a light game. So ins and outs, it's hard to predict without VFL footy, really. And especially because of the injury list. Out of all the fit players, I think we only have like R2 and maybe Will Phillips waiting. Players to come back, there's Pollock and Hayden from hamstring. But I think they still might be a week or two away. The Medisub wasn't used again for us this week, so hard to predict. Hard to think that there'll be any changes, I think. For the Lions, they'll get Zorko back, who comes off from a one-game suspension. And I tipped Turner to go to Toby Green correctly last week. So I think, I was listening to the radio and Ramanaskis was surprised Turner went to Green. So I was listening to that start of the game on the radio and expected Jack Zeeble to go to him, but we got that right. I think Zorko might be a good matchup. Zorko might have a bit too much pace for him, but I know Turner isn't super slow either, so when he goes forward, at least I think it would be perfect. I think Cameron might be a bit too clever for Turner, so maybe Atlee or if R2 can come in, can pick him up. Did the Lions lose their last
game? Yeah, lost against the D's. I think this SAJ,
So they're looking, they'd want to bounce back. If anyone goes out for us, it might be Josh Walker, but I think we might need him because the Lions sort of have a tallish forward line with people, Danaher and McStay. So you'd think Tarrant and Mackay will pick up two talls and Zeeble might go to McStay. So I think the mids need to be accountable. So the Lions mids are good at sort of running forward in goals, like McCluggage and Lyon and these sort of guys. So if we can do the same, like bet the other way, then I think it might go, it might make them think twice, be more accountable and maybe slow the game down a bit. On the weekend, Cunnington kicked a couple and Thomas kicked a couple, Davies Jr. kicked one. So Goldie even, to put some pressure on him and go forward. So, Yeah, well, so the midfield is obviously going to be where it starts, but if we can get the ball inside forward 50 and put Andrews and his defensive players under pressure, then yeah, it might be pretty good. Because I think they're missing a couple of important players back there as well. Gardner.
Yeah, Lester and Gardner, I think, maybe not went down, but they are, been in and out with injuries this year. But I'm not sure if any team's played a defensive forward on Harris Andrews. Maybe that's, the player to not tag, but just kind of lock away, because he's the one that gets all the intercepts and starts all their chains.
Yeah, and we have Sherry as well. So if he can continue his sort of contested marking form, could make the Lions sort of run rejig their defensive system a bit. So it'll be an interesting game. I still reckon the Lions will have too much experience and too much on the line, really, to let this slip.
Yeah.
So expect them to get up by a few goals, but I wouldn't be surprised if we're in this one as well in the last quarter.
Yeah, another test, I guess. Yeah, Giants have a fairly deep midfield, but Lions and probably another step up with McCluggage, Neil, Zorko, Lions, and they got top four probably midfield as well.
Yeah, and Darren Noble, having come from there, might know a little bit of inside knowledge, so maybe he can, use that to his advantage.
100%. So, got some under-recognized players, and you've got one that's been in the headlines this week.
Yeah, so maybe he's not so under-recognized, but Sean Darcy had a monster game. So, 17 touches, 5 marks, 6 tackles, 40 hitouts. Almost career best game, I think. 1 goal, 1 as well. So he's only 23. So a lot more development to come in. 202 centimeters, so it's a genuine ruck size, and 53 games now. He's picked 38 in the 2016 draft, which is looking like a stronger and stronger draft the more you look at that. Obviously with McGrath going 1 and Taranto McCluggage in the top 3. So a bit of a super draft. But Darcy can find the footy as well. So he had 22 touches against Essendon. So he's not a tap ruckman. He can find the ball and help the mids out and be sort of another mid as well. And he's 4th hitouts per game. So could be one of the premier ruckmen going forward.
Yeah, there's been talk of the Cats trying to lure him back home too, which that might be the only weakness of the Cats. Because they're a bit in between Stanley and Radicalio, and bit size is the number one ruck, so if they can get Darcy,
out. But I would, if I was Freo, I'd be holding on, putting a juicy deal in front of him to retain him. Who do you have?
Yeah, Brad Close. So he's probably the least credentialed of the Cats forward six. 22-year-old rookie elevation in 2019. He's ranked for elite for inside 450 tackles, above average for scoring involvements, disposal efficiency and pressure act. So obviously noticed him a bit more against Port. So 12 touches, 7 scoring involvements. Just every time he got the ball, it seemed to lead to a pass inside 450 or just hitting a target. So I think he might keep out Myers with the form he's in at the moment, Ryan Myers. So I think every premiership team needs a role player, and he's definitely one that's fulfilling his role at the moment.
Yeah, and he's keeping guys like Knuckle and some of the other more out there. So it'd be
Jordan Clark too.
Pardon?
Yeah, Jordan Clark as well. So he's left out of the team too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so that's important to find these rookie picks. Premiership teams aren't just made from first and second round picks. So he's doing well. Well, should we move on to the tips?
Yeah, so I'll put my hand up. I've only got one this week. I think it was, West Coast Richmond. And that was in the last 36 seconds too. So every other match I got wrong.
Yeah, right. I'm not sure what I did. I'd have to go back, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be either 1 or 0. maybe the Freo one. I'm not probably got that one.
I think you got Freo, and I tipped West Coast, and you tipped Richmond. So, you might have got one as well.
Okay. And we're not giving ourselves a point for the draw.
So. No.
Okay.
So, this week starts off, so Geelong hosting the Dogs at GMHBA. It's probably the game of the round. I think the Cats, especially with Hawkins, Cameron, and Rowan. Dogs probably only weakness is key back. So I think they wouldn't have an answer for all three of them.
Yeah, that's probably correct. I know Alex Keith had a good game the last game he played, but the fact that it's at GMHBA, I reckon, tilts the scales in Geelong's favour. So Geelong for me.
The Suns versus Port at Metricon. I've got Port, as always.
Yeah, I reckon there'll be a bit of a danger game for Port, but I think they've got the experience to win this. So, but the Suns can pop up and have a good game now and then. So could be the one, but I'll stick to Port.
Roos versus the Lions at Marvel. I've got the Lions. I think, yeah, just too much on the line with top four hopes. On the line, sort of.
Yeah, I reckon the Lions are a better team than GWS, and they're much healthier as well. So Roos might push them a little bit, but yeah, Lions should win this.
Giants versus Carlton at Giants Stadium. But the Giants just can't trust the Blues at all, especially after not beating injury-ravaged Eagles last week.
Yeah, I reckon apart from Taranto and Kelly, the other midfielders would look to find some form. So, yeah, Hopper and Ward and these sort of guys will, get the opportunity against sort of a thin Carlton midfield and, beat them.
Yeah, after Walsh and Cripps, it really falls away.
Yeah, 100%. And a bit of a rivalry match to end the round with Hawthorn taking on Essendon at the MCG.
Yeah, I got the Bombers. I think Hawks had a good win on the weekend, but I think the Bombers will just show how far ahead they are in the rebuild compared to the Hawks.
This one's a hard one as well. A bit of a toss of the coin. Hawks found a little bit of form led by Mitchell, but I can't see them defeating Essendon. So, Essendon for me as well.
And Buys, there's a few more teams this round. So, Crows, Pies, Dockers, D's, Saints, and Swans. So, on the, 5 games this weekend?
Yeah, I don't know if Richmond and West Coast have a bye. I think they might as well.
Yeah, I think they're going to move forward. So, they should have a bye this week, but might change.
All right, cool. Well, have another good short week and we'll do a full preview next week.
Yeah, see you guys.
Yeah.